All right, about five verses. We're going to start at 4:19, and we're going to do half of chapter 4 and half of chapter 5, but I'm going to read you five verses. On the 10th day of the first month, the people went up from the Jordan and camped at Gilgal on the eastern border of Jericho. They were now in the promised land. All right, you got to get that in your mind. They were in the promised land. And he says, and Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones that they had taken out from the Jordan. As they were crossing over, they grabbed 12 stones as a testimony, as a memorial. And he says that he had taken up the 12 stones they had taken out of the Jordan, and he said to the Israelites, in the future, when your descendants, when your children, when your grandchildren, when your nieces and your nephews, when the little kids running around your feet come and ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them, Israel crossed over the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan just what he had done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before we had crossed over. And he did this for a reason. He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful. Can I get a witness on that? He did this for two reasons. He did this so that all the peoples of the world might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear. Would you say fear for me, please?
Fear.
You know what fear means? Fear means fear. That's what it means. Fear. Right there, man. It's a word. It means fear means fear. Some people say, oh, it means love. Guess what? When God says, I want all the people to know how to love me, you know what word he uses for love?
Love.
Yeah, exactly. Amen. And when he says fear, you know what word he means? He uses fear, because fear means fear and love means love. He says, I did this for two reasons, that all the people of the earth might know that the hand of God is powerful, and that my people might know to fear the Lord. Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning knowing that you are awesome, knowing that your hand is indeed powerful, Lord, that you are mighty to save, Lord, that your hand is not grown short, Lord, that you are not incompetent, incapable, that nothing is impossible for you, Lord, that you can meet us here this morning, Lord, that you speak in Canada, you speak in San Diego, you speak in Mexico, that you speak all over this planet, Lord, and that you are still revealing yourself, Lord, that your hand is indeed mighty and powerful. And Lord, that we need to walk in reverence, Lord, and in awareness, Lord, that you are able to do all things. And that the choices that we make, Lord, have consequences. Just like the choices they made back in the day have consequences. We give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
We got a thing in our house. We have a thing in our house. We share the chores. You guys have chores in your home? Some of you guys live alone. I got chores. They're all mine. We got kids, so we give the kids chores. You know why we give the kids chores? Because we're lazy. No, it's not because we're lazy. It's because we want them to learn how to work. All right? Is that good?
Yes.
Yeah. And one of the chores we have the children do is the dishes. Now, yes, I was going to say that. No, that's just an internet picture. Those are not our dishes. That is not our sink. That is not our home. But we divide the dishes into two parts, the loading of the dishwasher and the unloading of the dishwasher. Now, that is also not our house, yes. Our children don't. No, you see, you know, that's got to be a dishwasher for sale. I mean, nobody loads their dishwasher like that, all perfect and nice. But our kids, and they don't feel that the two halves of the dishwashing are equal. And so they flip-flop back and forth. 1 week, one kid will load the dishwasher, and the next week, the other kid will unload the dishwasher. And now, which one do you think they prefer? Oh, yeah, no doubt, right? And so whenever there's confusion on what happened, we were on vacation last week, or we're out of town last week, or something happened last week, who does what? Guess which one they want to claim? Nobody says, oh, let me load, Dad. Are you feeling me on this? And now, do you know how much joy it would give me to have Joe say, Dad, I really can't remember what I did last week, but I just want to be fair. Let me load this week. Are you feeling me on that? Because I'll tell you what, by the choice they make, it displays their character. He says, that's right. And she says, oh. Choices display our character. Title of today's message is Lives on Display. Guess what? Your life is on display. Everybody around you sees it. God sees every choice you make. Some of you people are going, the whole week? Oh, man, I'm really hoping he didn't see me on Tuesday night. A couple of nervous laughs going on. Some of you thinking, it wasn't Tuesday. Oh, yeah. Lives on display. We come today to the crossing of the Jordan. A display in the lives of the Israelites. They are ready to take the land for the second time. And you say, what do you mean the second time? Well, we can rewind back 40 years to a town that I know is on the tip of all of your lips, of all of your, I guess, tongues, tip of your tongue. Everybody say it with me, Kadesh Barnea. What? That was not on the tip of my tongue. What are you talking about? Kadesh Barnea. Kadesh Barnea was where they were set 40 years previously to take the land. He talked about what I read about crossing the Red Sea, right? They crossed the Jordan just like they crossed the Red Sea. God made this mighty display. The Canaanites were quaking in fear. They were set to take the land now. But they were also set to take the land 40 years previously. I'm going to show you on this map right here. See, they had gone from Egypt through the Red Sea down to Mount Sinai. They had got the Ten Commandments. They had got the law. They had got all that stuff. They come up here. It's like 2 years removed from Egypt. And they're at Kadesh Barnea. Okay. Carmen, Escuela Dominical Abajo. Okay. Is nobody impressed by my Spanish? Come on. Thank you very much. It's like, what was that language? Was that Chinese? No, it was Spanish. You like that, huh? Else? Okay. Here we go. So they're at Kadesh Barnea, right? Check it out. They are now up here crossing the Jordan at Gilgal. Right? 40 years before, they were in Kadesh Barnea ready to invade Israel from the south. See, there was nothing magic per se about, we're going to take the land by crossing the Jordan. No, they were going to do it a different way 40 years before. And they sent spies out into the land from where? From Kadesh Barnea. And they sent them up. And they spied out the land, and they came back, and they said, there's giants in the land. We can't do this. They are too big for us. They are too strong for us. And they made choices, and God knew their choices. I said, I didn't give you this verse. Numbers chapter 14, verse 11. The Lord said to Moses, how long will these people treat me with contempt? Because now his people were quaking in fear. His people had forgot all the miracles and the plagues that he had brought upon Egypt. His people had forgot that they had crossed the Red Sea. His people forgot that he had guided them in the wilderness. They're too big for us. We can't do this. Let's run away. How long will these people treat me with contempt? How long will they refuse to believe in me in spite of all the miraculous signs I have performed among them? And God kept them in this wilderness for 40 years. From here to here, it took 2 years. From here to here, it took 40 years. Waiting for an entire generation to perish in the land. Why? Because of their contempt. Why? Because of the choices. The choices that they were making to run away from the challenge of taking the land. Displayed their character. Displayed what was in their heart. Displayed what was in their souls. God could not continue on. Hear this. God could not continue on with his plan until he could develop a people of character. God had a plan. I'm going to make a people. We're going to take the land. And you are going to be a witness for me. And he couldn't get past the making the people part because of their choices. He could see it. How about you? How are your choices? How's your character? How'd you do this week? God knows. God's paying attention. And you know what? Everybody around you knows. They might not even be paying attention, but your life is on display. Your life is on display because of the choices that you make. God would call you to better choices. Amen? All right. Let's take a look. Picture the plan. Picture the plan of God. We're going to go through about two chapters today, maybe a chapter and a half. And these first two points, this first point, a picture of the plan of God, is a picture of what the plan of God looks like being manifested in his people, being worked out by his people. Okay? Number one. We need to continue in the fight, okay? There's some that would think, hey, I'm good. I'm just going to kick back for a minute. You know what I mean? I just need a rest. I need a vacation. All right, now the priests who carried the ark remained standing in the middle of the Jordan until everything the Lord had commanded Joshua was done by the people just as Moses had directed Joshua. The people hurried over. Can you imagine them running? I mean, the Jordan River is at flood, right? Let's not mess around here. They are hurrying across. The people hurried over as soon as all of them had crossed the ark of the Lord, and the priest came to the other side while the people watched. The men of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh crossed over armed in front of the Israelites as Moses had directed them. The men of Reuben, Gad, and Manasseh. Why does he bring this out? Because the Lord had made a deal with them. They were known as, I talked about this a couple of weeks ago, the Transjordan tribes. They were known as the, I was going to put a map up there for you. They lived on the other side of the Jordan. And they had defeated Og and Sihon as they came across. And they said, hey, this is a good land. Can we just stay here? And the Lord said, okay. And their women, their wives, all their animals, all their stuff, they kept on the other side of the Jordan. And when they crossed over, they didn't have to bring any of that stuff. And all the other fighting men, they had their families to deal with. They had their goats and their sheep and all that stuff. Oxen and maybe a piano. No, I don't know if they had pianos back then, but they had their stuff. Mike, you just moved all your stuff, right? My kids was telling me about your bed, giant bed. Oh, see, they ever had beds and stuff, big stuff they were crossing. But they were protected by the tribe of Reuben, Gad, and Manasseh. You say, why is that important? Why is that part of the plan? See, Reuben, Gad, and Manasseh, they could have said, we're done. We've got our promise. We've got our reward. We can just kick back in front of the fireplace. Take a snooze. Oh, you guys, good luck crossing the Jordan. Good luck. Hey, oh, that's a massive miracle. God's with you guys. You don't need us. And you know what? Their character would be displayed. How's your character? What kind of choices are you making? You see, their character was also displayed because they crossed over in front. Where do you think the most dangerous spot was? In front. If anybody was going to attack them, if the king of Jericho was going, whoa, check it out, let's get them while they're vulnerable. Amen. They would attack where? The front. And that's where he puts Gad, Reuben, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. Says, we got you covered. And that is part of the plan of God. That, see, and this is why it's a picture of the plan, because sometimes there's some people who need some support. Sometimes there's some people who need some protection. Sometimes there's some people right here in this room who need some support and some protection. Amen? Amen. But I tell you what, if all the people of God are going, I got my promise. God will hook you up. I'm a little busy right now. Display of character. See, God's plan revolves around developing a people. A people that are not worried about their comfort and what they're going to get, but a people who become part of the plan of God, who people who step into the promise of God and step beyond that promise. Boy, it's quiet in here. Amen?
Yeah.
God would have us help other people get into the promise, yes. Part of the plan. All right, another picture, okay? On the 10th day of the first month, people went up from Jordan and camped at Gilgal on the eastern border of Jericho, and Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones. This is what I read earlier. Taken out of the Jordan, he said to the Israelites, in the future when your descendants ask you, we need to make opportunities to share. We need to live in such a way that people ask us, what is going on with you? What is happening in your life? And when that happens, we need to be ready to have an answer. What do these stones mean? Oh, man, let me tell you this story. Who's going to ask you that question? People who don't know the Lord, right? What do these stones mean? Oh, let me tell you about God. Who else might ask? Somebody who knows God but doesn't know the story about how they crossed over the Jordan. Oh, let me tell you about this miracle that God did. Either ways, God wants you to live in such a way that you would elicit a question from those people around you. People asking you anything? God wants you to be able to share how mighty our God is. Amen. Let me tell you about my God. He set us free from Egypt. Let me tell you about my God. He crossed us over the Jordan. Let me tell you about my God. We laid waste to all the people in Canaan. Because why? Because he delivered the Canaanites into our hands. Let me tell you about my God. Are you living in such a way as to get a question? Or you just got your feet up? Your life is on display. Bible tells us, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you. My question is, anybody asking you? Be prepared. Live in such a way as to get a question. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have. How come you are different? What makes you so different? Timothy got up and talked about praying for somebody. Said, whoa, back off, man, back off. Don't need no 45-minute prayer. I think a little dab will do me here. You got Linda saying, hey, where are you from? I never had anybody do this before. Can I follow? She's like, well, let me figure this out. I don't know. We're working on Linda on that. Say, come on in. Loretta, man, I'm loving Loretta. She says, hey, I want some of this. Loretta's already feeling like family. Can I get a witness on that? See, there's room in the family of God. We got to live in such a way that people want in. Live in such a way to get a question. How you living? How you living? Anybody asking you anything? Or you just kicking back? Point number two, God always comes through. Have you found that to be true? How many times God left you hanging? Never happened? Praise the Lord. It's not supposed to happen. That day, the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel. And they revered Joshua all the days of his life, just as they had revered Moses. And God's going to make a display in Joshua, just like he made a display in Moses. And I tell you what, neither one of these guys was really looking for it. Can I get a witness on that, please? I mean, you remember Moses in front of the burning bush? He said, whoa, what if they don't believe me, God? Well, I'll hook you up. What if they don't think that you really sent me, God? I really can't speak that well, God. Let me find a way out of this. I got to think we can relate to that. Oh, yeah, God, pick somebody else. Joshua says, be strong and courageous. Over and over. Be strong and very courageous. Because you're kind of a chicken, Joshua. He said, I know, I don't want to do this. Maybe you can relate. Maybe God would ask you to do something that's a little uncomfortable for me. Well, I'm glad he wasn't so worried about the comfort of Joshua and the comfort of Moses, and I'm really glad he really wasn't worried about the comfort of Jesus. Amen. Are you going to be comfortable on that cross, Jesus? Oh, I don't know. It's going to be a little uncomfortable, I think. If there's another way, oh, let me find another way for you. But that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, no, not my will, but thy will be done. And because of his sacrifice on the cross, we are able to be transformed in our lives. And because Joshua overcame his fear and discomfort, he led the people to take a land. And because Moses overcame his discomfort, he was able to lead a people out of slavery. And the Lord might ask you to do something that's a little uncomfortable for you. What are you going to choose? How are you going to respond? Oh, I don't know. I'm a little busy. Got a little siesta coming my way. And God says up there, oh, I don't want to disturb your siesta. Remember what he said to the Israelites? How long will they treat me with contempt? How long do I have to put up with this stuff? Bible says that the fields are ripe with harvest. Little heads of Loretta all over the place. Who's going to get out there? Get busy. Right now, just Linda and Timothy. What would God have you do? God would grow his house. Some of you are here today thinking, man, God can't use me. I have made such incredibly poor choices in my life. They disqualify me from serving God. Well, if there's anybody in this room that we disqualified from serving God, it would be me. Anybody else would be disqualified from serving God, it would be Timothy. The Apostle Paul says, what a wretched man that I am. I can't do what I'm supposed to do. Who's going to rescue me from this body of death? I can't get over on myself. The Apostle Paul. Timothy. Me, Moses, God will use you. Amen. Bible says, humble yourself before the Lord. He'll lift you up. Amen. You're not too far for God, too far gone for God. Amen. It's a choice that you could make. God will call you to a better choice. Amen? All right. God has a message for the opposition. God has a message for the enemy. God makes a display for his people and a display for those who are not his people. He says, now when all the Amorite kings west of the Jordan and all the Canaanite kings along the coast heard how the Lord had dried up the Jordan, you think it made the news? Did you hear? Jordan River dried up. And how they crossed over, their hearts melted, and they no longer had the courage to fight. God said, I'm going to hand them over. I'm going to put them in your hands. And he says, he lets the enemy get a feel for the challenge that they're up against. You see, God is moving with his people. He says, I'll be your God. You be my people. And no one will be able to stand before you. Wherever you set your feet, I'm going to give you that. The issue is, you got to keep on walking. And we just want to sometimes take a little siesta. Your choices will display what's going on in your heart, what's on in your soul, what's going on in your life, how you're choosing. He says, no one will be able to stand before you. The people of God, working the plan of God, will never lack for the provision of God. God would reveal his mighty power in you. What do you choose? What do you grab onto? See, our biggest problem is we don't want to make the choices that line us up with the plan of God. We just want to put our feet up and, Joe got a hammock chair. I want to put it up in my room, Dad. You put a hammock up in your room, man. Come on, kid. God keeps his promise. He says, I'll deliver them into your hands. God enters the land with a mighty display. Brings great encouragement to his people. Brings great discouragement to the enemy. They are quaking in fear, and he lifts up Joshua to lead his people. In the same way that he had lifted up Moses to lead his people, everything is set to go. It is like it's like one of those big domino things. You know, it's just like thousands and thousands and thousands of dominoes all ready to go. And click one, and it just goes. You seen those? It's all ready to go. And God says, not so fast. Hold on. We got to work the whole plan. And we got some things we need to deal with. At that time, everything dialed. Jericho's quaking. People are fired up. Joshua's ready to go. Hold on. Not so fast. We got something else we need to deal with today. And he says, make flint knives. Anybody ever seen a flint knife? It's like you see obsidian arrowheads. Like Indian arrowheads. You chip them. Make those kind of knives. They had metal knives. It was a Bronze Age. They had knives made out of metal. I think some of the guys are going, hey, can't we use this nice sharp knife over here? And probably their voice went up, can't we do that? No. Let's use the rock knives and circumcise the Israelites again. We weren't even thinking of that, God. Oh, I know. I could tell for 40 years by your choices. See, God knows where you're at because of your choices, and God will speak to you when you're not aware that your choices are defiling you. Let's stop everything, and let's circumcise the Israelites. Our choices limit our progress. There's only so far you can go in the plan of God until he's going to say, hey, let's hold this up for a minute. Now, the women in here are not so sweating right now. Doesn't hit home as much for you ladies. I know, I realize that. I'll try to make this hit everybody here. Because your... What? Be careful. Well, there's a certain amount of pain and discomfort that's going along in the masculine members of the crowd here. He says, hey, you guys have an important part of the plan. We need to have you line up on the plan. 40 years, the Bible tells us, 40 years previously, they had forsaken the covenant of circumcision. Easy to do, easy to rationalize. This is just not something we do anymore. It's archaic. It's Christian. You ever hear that on the news? Oh, come now, come. We're a modern culture. They had it back then. Oh, man, circumcision, that's barbaric. Something of the past. God says, you got to keep your end of the bargain. And you might ask yourself, what bargain are you talking about? What do you mean, a deal? God makes a deal with me? Yeah, God makes a deal with his people. God makes an agreement. God makes a covenant. Oh, okay. Even call it a testament. This is the New Testament in my blood. Okay? What was the covenant? It was the Abrahamic covenant. Wait, it's like 1,000 years before. Right. Says, Genesis 17:8, God making his covenant with Abraham. Covenant regarding what? The promised land. Where were they standing? On the edge of the promised land. He says, the whole land of Canaan, where you are now an alien, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and who? Your descendants. 1,000 years before. And I will be their God. That's verse 8. You skip down to verse 11. This was Abraham's side of the covenant. God's side of the covenant was, I'll give you the land, I'll be your God. This is your end. You are to undergo circumcision. And it will be a sign of the covenant between me and you. And so as they were at Kadesh Barnea, and they heard that the people in the land were giants, and it was too difficult for them, they said, oh, I think it's too difficult for us. And they forsook their end of the bargain. Now they want God to keep his end. He said, we got to settle up. Time to line back up on me. I need your choices to reflect your position that you want to be in. And I'm asking today, how'd your choices go last week and last month and last year? How'd your choices go this morning? You're here this morning. Praise the Lord. Some people made some choices, didn't even end up here. They turned their back on the land and they turned their back on the Lord. God is looking for a people who will connect with him, people who will obey him. You might be thinking, well, that part of me is private. That's a private thing. I don't really feel comfortable revealing that portion of my body or my life. God says it's your end of the bargain. Make some knives out of rocks. Reveal your most intimate parts of your life and your body to me. Then we'll be able to move on with the plan. I don't really feel comfortable with that, Pastor. You have to talk to him. Because he kept his people in the wilderness for 40 years. Some of you have been wandering in the wilderness for too long. And you're thinking, well, I don't really feel comfortable with that. God is not about your comfort. God is about your progress. God is about your choices. Well, I don't really feel comfortable with that. getting circumcised with a rock knife. It was so significant in the history of Israel that they named it Gibeath Haralah. It means hill of foreskins. Oh, yeah. And it was a display. It was a display. It was a memorial of the obedience of Israel. Get that? It's when we crossed over and obeyed the Lord, the whole nation. It was also an incredible display of the disobedience of Israel. 40 years of disobedience. Can you get an image of Gibeath Haraloth, a hill of foreskins? Okay. Imagine it. Okay, this is the desert, folks. A day later. 2 days later. 3 days later. Can you imagine anything more disgusting? And some of our choices are disgusting to God. He says, I want you to understand how disgusting they are. And there is a memorial that would make us aware of our choices. How are you doing on your choices? See, God would call you to better choices. God would make a people to take a land to be a witness. And some of us are not getting past the make a people part because of what? Our choices. And they're disgust the Lord. So they are lined up on the Lord. I'm sure it was disgusting, but it was not something that they could avoid. One last thing. After the whole nation had been circumcised, they remained where they were in camp until they were healed. And then the Lord said to Joshua, today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. So the place has been called Gilgal to this day. And Gilgal means, sounds like rolled. One last thing to accomplish. Something only God could do. Do a miracle in them. God removes their reproach. God removes the disgrace of Egypt. And I got to think that this is the last thing on their mind. Man, 40 years, Egypt is 40 years ago. All these guys are dead. What are you talking about? Those who came out of Egypt were only kids. Barely remember. And when you think about, you know, what is the disgrace of Egypt? What is he talking about? They left Egypt, I mean, with a mighty display of the miracles of God. They plundered Egypt. They destroyed Pharaoh's army. You think about, what is the disgrace that they're talking about? And I think we have to go back to Kadesh Barnea when they are perched, ready to take the land. And the reports of the spies come back. And they say, we should choose a leader and go back to Egypt. Reproach. Headed back to sin. Headed back to slavery. They said, let's go back to the easy life. And they disgraced themselves. And I don't even think that they were aware that they were living in disgrace. God says, let me handle this for you. Line up on me, and I'll handle stuff going on in you that you don't even realize is going on in you. How you doing today? How you doing this week? What choices have you been making? God would call you to better choices, and some of you don't have time for the call of God. Lisa, would you come up and play some? And it's understandable. Moses said, oh, God, can you go a different way? Joshua was intimidated and full of fear. But once they understood the call of God, once they understood what was going on, the plan of God, they were able to devote their entire lives to God. Some of you just said, no, it's not me. God knows what's in your heart. Some of you have been saying, that's not me for too long. You can leave here today saying, that's not me. Live in the wilderness. Some of you here today are saying, man, that's it. That is it. I need God to do something in me that I didn't even realize I needed until right now. Is that you this morning? You would say, God, I have made such incredible poor choices in my life. I have stained myself. And I didn't even realize it. You've spoken to my heart time after time after time, and I've just put you off, and just put you off, and I've just put you off. Jesus didn't put him off. He hung on a cross for you. You might be thinking, I'm less than comfortable with this. The entire nation of Israel was circumcised with rock knives. Well, I'm not that comfortable revealing some of the garbage I got in my life. God's not worried about your comfort. God's worried about healing. God's worried about accomplishing something in you, and that very thing that you want to conceal from him is the thing that's holding you back. Right now, the Lord says, let me call you to a new choice. Well, I surely hope he's not going to want me to raise my hand. I surely hope he's not going to want me to stand. I surely hope he's not going to want me to come up there and pray. I'm really not comfortable with that. Well, I'm sure that God's fine with your discomfort. And you can just leave the way you are in the wilderness. But maybe the Lord is saying that discomfort, that private part of your life is what is dragging you back, is what is keeping you from fulfilling what I have for you, moving into the promise I have for your life. Your life. Your life. Your life. Your life.